Hello and welcome to another episode of Simply Scottish, the podcast of all things Scottish. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. It's great to be with you. Today, I'm sharing with you my recent conversation with radio host and fellow Scot, Janet Parshall, on her nationally syndicated programme, In the Market. We talk about Robert Burns' legacy and how he came to influence America from its earliest days as a republic. We also look at how Burns' poetry shapes the beliefs and actions of two great leaders in America's fight to end slavery, American abolitionist and orator Frederick Douglass, and President Abraham Lincoln. Plus, we dip into the Simply Scottish radio archive to bring you a reading from my father and former co-host, Andrew McDermott Sr. He delivers the famous Burns poem, A Man's a Man for All That. And as usual, you'll hear some lovely Scottish music, like this track from Graham McKenzie. Let's keep listening together to the Contradiction Reels. Thank you. I'm so glad you found Simply Scottish, and I trust you'll enjoy our extensive archive of available episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're ready to go to the next level and help me produce more episodes and reach more Scotland lovers around the world, hop on over to our new Patreon portal and join the clan. For the price of a coffee or two a month, you'll tap into subscriber-only benefits like bonus episodes, articles, the ability to ask me anything about Scotland, and I'll answer your question on the show, quarterly virtual hangouts, and more. Get the details and join today at patreon.com/simplyscottish. That's patreon.com/simplyscottish. A quick shout out to a few listeners who recently got in touch with me. I heard from Valerie in Oakville, Connecticut, who heard about Simply Scottish after I recently appeared on the Eric Metaxas show to discuss technology and the benefits of thinking in the digital age. Valerie reiterates something Eric and I mentioned in our conversation, the fact that we all need a Sabbath, a day set aside when we tune out of our constant digital connection to the world and commune with family, our faith community, ourselves, our maker, and even nature. Speaking of interviews, I've had some good feedback from folks who watched my interview with Braveheart writer Randall Wallace. On YouTube, Christina says, "What an interesting episode. Love the opening and closing music. Looking forward to more." Yes, as I was looking for music from the movie Braveheart to go along with the interview video, I came across London-based classical guitarist Cam Ash, and I chose his rendition of A Gift of a Thistle to start and end my Randall Wallace interview. I've since been talking with Cam about creating a custom Simply Scottish theme, so stay tuned for details on that. If you want to tell me about your connection to Scotland and from where you tune in to Simply Scottish, get in touch. Use the contact form at simplyscottish.com or email me at andrew@simplyscottish.com. Let's jump into the spirit of Robert Burns now. I founded Simply Scottish in 1999 and co-hosted the show on radio airwaves with my father Andrew Sr. for 3 years. As you can imagine, we had lots of great conversation about Scottish culture and history. I pulled this little gem out of our 140-episode radio archive. To warm us up for today's topic, here's my father, Andrew Sr., with a reading of the famous Burns poem, A Man's a Man for All That.
Good evening. Is there for honest poverty that hangs his heed and all that? The coward slave, we pass him by. We dare be poor for all that. For all that and all that. Our toils obscure and all that. The rank is but the guinea stamp. The man's the gowd for all that. What though on hamely fare we dine? We're hodden grey and all that. Gie fools their silks and knaves their wine. A man's a man for all that. For all that and all that. Their tinsel show and all that. The honest man, though e'er sae poor, is king o' men for all that. Ye see, you birkie called the Lord, what struts and stares and all that. Though hundreds worship at his word, he's but a cuff for all that. For all that and all that, his ribbon star and all that, the man o' independent mind, he looks and laughs at all that. A prince can make a belted knight, a marquis, duke and all that, but an honest man aboon his might, good faith, he munna for that. For all that and all that, their dignities and all that, a pith o' sense and pride o' worth, are higher rank than all that. Then let us pray that come it may, as come it may will all for all that, that sense and worth o'er the earth shall bear the gree and all that. For all that and all that, is coming yet for all that. That man to man the world o'er shall brothers be for all that.
You're listening to Simply Scottish, and that was music from the trio Aimer, Hawksworth, Munro. The song is called Coral Beach. By the way, I post show notes for each episode that are freely available on our Patreon portal. Look up song and artist names and get additional resources for each episode of the show. Find show notes at patreon.com/simplyscottish. Now, let's get to my conversation with Janet Parshall on her radio program In the Market. The topic? Mr. Robert Burns and his enduring impact on the United States. Enjoy.
For $500, who wrote the lyrics to that song? You may use a lifeline or call a friend. I think I'm mixing my game shows. We are going to have a fascinating conversation with, I think, a fascinating gentleman. We're going to spend time again with my friend, Andrew McDermott, who is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute. My, didn't that work out well? So we just talked to Wesley Smith, and now we're talking to Andrew, talking about one of my favorite organizations, the Discovery Institute. He does a lot of work there. He serves as the media relations specialist and assistant to Stephen Meyer, who we've just had on our program, by the way. Thank you, Andrew, for helping to set that up. And he is a man who's also got a fabulous podcast called Simply Scottish. And we want to get to technology because this is Andrew's forte. He writes about this and talks about this all the time. But because we are in those few days where we remember Robert Burns, the poet laureate of Scotland, I want you all to learn more about Rabbi Burns, as he's often known. And Charlie Is My Darling was one of his poems. In fact, Andrew, you should know this. My brother's name was Charlie. One of my brother's name was Charlie. And my mom, when she was young, would walk around singing Charlie Is My Darling to my brother all the time based on that Burns poem. So I want our friends to know who this man is. If you're not Scottish, there are people going, yawn, why should I care who the Scottish poet and lyricist is? Tell me who he is and what we need to know about him.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Americans of all values and all stripes, both now and in the past, have cared about Robert Burns and still continue to. And I think he is a poet for everyone. Ralph Waldo Emerson has said that he gave voice to all the experiences of common life, and that Burns' song and verse are the property and solace of mankind. And to really understand that, you just got to get into his verse, see what he wrote about, the qualities of liberty and fraternity and equality that he brought out in his verse at a crucial time in America's founding. And it has stuck with the American people ever since.
Wow. So my question has always been, if we look at him as a poet and a lyricist, I want to know his relationship with the music. So did he find long-standing tunes that were played around in the pubs in the villages and then subscribe lyrics to them? Because was he a musician by training? In other words, he had the ear for music, but did he find the music and then the lyrics, or was the lyrics and then he found the music?
You know, he wrote a lot of his own verses, but as he grew older in his late 20s and 30s, he realized that it was part of his duty as a poet with newly found success to gather up what had come before him and publish it. And so he worked with folks that did just that in Scotland. They preserved old folk songs, and often he would contribute lyrics to tunes that he would find or that would be passed on to him. And so he was, responsible for gathering hundreds and hundreds of old folk songs and tunes, often, you know, contributing lyrics to that and then publishing it as a resource for the people of Scotland. Now, he wasn't, you know, as I said, trained in music. So it wasn't that he was playing all this, but he worked with musicians to find this these gems that were hidden in Scotland's past.
Wow. So why did he find such success? Because he's loved by Scots far and wide, beyond Scots, by the way. And for our friends who are listening right now, you don't know that you probably just sang a Bobby Burns poem. And that is, when it's New Year's Eve and we sing Auld Lang Syne, This was a poem by Robert Burns. So we do this every New Year's. Now you know definitively where that song comes from. But how was his career, if I can put it that way, launched? What was his background? Because he really was raised in a kind of an agrarian household, wasn't he?
His father was a farmer. His mother came from a farming family. And he indeed farmed. But it was rough. It was tough to do this kind of work. His father had limited success and, in fact, had passed away by 1784. And Robert Burns was, as the eldest, supposed to take over the family farm. And he did. And, you know, he started writing his own verses in his teenagehood. And at one point, he was offered a job in Jamaica. And this is where Proverbs 16:9 comes in. A person may plan his own journey, but the Lord directs his steps. Now, he was about to board the boat to Jamaica once he raised up some funds for that. And who knows what he would have become over there. But God had other plans and steered him towards putting out a book of poems. He was encouraged by those around him to release some of this verse. And it became known as the Kilmarnock Edition. It came out in 1786, poems chiefly in the Scottish dialect. And it was a collection of what we consider to be his best these days. And this was a poet in his element. And what's funny is that people brought that collection over to America and without him even knowing it, published it in Philadelphia. And he was starting to gain success in America without ever stepping on the shores of America. And so that's an interesting thing to look at, how his fame started in this country. It was really piracy. Before they had national legislation on copyright, you know, they felt that they could mass produce these great works and share them with people. And that's how his popularity spread.
Mm. So only by pirated editions does American come to know who he is. Let me talk about the language with which he writes. Hanging over my fireplace is a copy of the Selkirk Grace. That is the poem that's attributed to Robert Burns. And you sometimes think, is that a typo? Is that a spelling error? So he doesn't write in Gaelic per se, but it's kind of like old Scots. Explain his use of language.
Right. Yeah. You know, for years I've pondered this myself. You know, is Scots English? Is it a variety of English?
Yeah.
And I finally settled from my research on realizing that the Scots language and the English language were both distinct, and they both grew up, you know, from the same kind of common origins. And so one isn't necessarily from another so much as they're from the same roots and they both grew up independently. And the Scots dialect, you know, Lallans is the lowland Scots dialect that Burns made use of, being from southwest Scotland. And it's not entirely different from the English words that were used. And so people can get along with it. And he did write rather lightly. It wasn't very heavy, so that it was a total different language. But he used it lightly and I think very effectively. And it romanticized a language in a way that no other single person has done. So it was pretty amazing what he did with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So he becomes loved in the United States. He's obviously lionized in Scotland as well. But his poetry, you say in an article that you wrote that was fascinating, that he survived the cancel culture of his day and became a favorite of commoners and presidents. There's a story there. Share that with us.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, you know, in the last few years, we've seen, Janet, just this cancel culture rising up, this intolerance of other views and other people. And as I was writing that article last year for the last Burns celebration, it dawned on me that he did face some of these issues himself. He offered a lot of bold ideas up in his work, and for that, he had his haters. You know, he was encouraged to keep his mouth shut and just do his job as an excise man in Scotland, sort of working for the government. And but he couldn't, you know, just this was bubbling out of him, all these ideas, as he was watching what was happening with the French Revolution and with the American Revolution. He just couldn't keep quiet. And I think we're the better for it. But whether it was, you know, ratting on him to authorities as a sympathizer of the French Revolution, or people avoiding him on the street and just kind of walking the other way in order to shun him, you know, he upset locals and leaders, and they wanted him deplatformed, to use the modern word. But while he vented about this privately to friends, you know, the people that would, quote, deliberately plot the destruction of an honest man, he kept in public, just continuing what he was doing and building a name for himself and his work, and we're the richer for it, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So in the United States, we often have what are called Burns night dinners. His birthday was January 25th, and so very often around this time of year, in big cities and in small towns, they will have Burns dinner, and there's an order to which this happens. There's a toast to the president. There's a toast to the king. The haggis is brought in with pipers before the haggis is shared. The Selkirk grace gets said. It's an opportunity for people who represent various clans and their various tartans to come and gather together. Have you ever gone to a Burns night dinner? And if so, did you do it here in the States or did you do it in Scotland?
You know, I don't recall any in Scotland. I know that that's where they started, and they certainly have them all over there. My first Burns nights were here in Seattle, actually, as part of the Caledonian and St. Andrews Society here. I was sharing in that, and I even spoke at one of them as a representative of Scotland. And it's a real exercise in fraternity, let me tell you.
Yeah, it certainly is. All right, I'm going to get out of the way so you can hear another song. In fact, all my music surrounding my conversation with Andrew today are going to be songs based on Burns' lyrics. So I'll get out of the way so you can hear. When we come back, what's a believer's relationship with technology? We'll talk more right after this. Sense of the poetry of Burns when you hear that song being sung. It is Bonnie Jean. Andrew McDermott is with us, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, and he also is the host of the podcast Simply Scottish, Being a Good Scotsman. That comes as no surprise whatsoever. A woman can change your mind, and that's my prerogative, and I just did, because I want to go back to Burns for a bit, if I can. And then if time allows, I want to talk about your superb piece that showed up in the New York Post. But I would be remiss if I didn't share with our friends listening the interconnection between America and Robert Burns, particularly this very interesting intersection with Burns and Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, the more I learn about this, the more amazed I am. Burns indeed influenced many people, but two major figures that were pivotal in the ending of slavery in America. This is just one big reason why we should love Robert Burns today and hold him dear. And that is, he influenced the life of Frederick Douglass and also Abraham Lincoln. And those lives, as many people know, intersected in really important ways. In fact, I looked up a speech that Frederick Douglass gave. He spoke at a Burns night. We were talking about those gatherings. Mm-hmm. He spoke at a Burns night in New York in 1849. And this goes out to everyone who doesn't think they're Scottish. Well, here's what Frederick Douglass said about that. He said, "If a warm love of Scottish character and a high appreciation of Scottish genius constitute any of the qualities of a true Scottish heart, then indeed does a Scottish heart throb beneath these ribs." So I think we can all have the qualities of a Scottish heart, no matter where you're born. He really enjoyed Burns for his verse, but also for his life. Here was a man that demonstrated what it looked like to be self-taught, to not go to university, to be cultured, to be confident, you know, to be someone who could speak on things and share things with the world. And Frederick Douglass admired that. In fact, he took a trip to Burns' home and met his sister and a few of his nieces when Douglass was over there on a trip to garner support for abolition. He just had an immense appreciation for Burns, what he lived out. You know, he saw that Burns was looked on as a little more than a brute by some of the people in his lifetime, and he related to that, Frederick did. And also Abraham Lincoln, who was on the other side of the coin and able to lead in the same way. Lincoln kept a book of Burns' poetry, you know, his whole life, you know, after learning it at an early age, along with the Bible and with Shakespeare. And Burns's verse of fraternity and equality was right there at the helm as these two men's work intersected with regard to ridding America of slavery once and for all.
Wow. Let me point out also, because I don't think our friends listening, unless you're passionate about this subject, really see all the tendril outreaches and the influences that Burns had. So now, because of the movie Braveheart, everybody knows who William Wallace is, but we didn't for the longest period of time. But yet it was Burns who pushed Wallace up into the bright lights with his poem, Scots Wae We Wallace Bled. Again, I grew up with my mother quoting this around the house. And the saying, Scots Wae We Wallace Bled, was the unofficial national anthem of Scotland for the longest period of time. But again, I want to underscore what you just said. Self-taught, didn't go to university, believed in the common man, believed in equality, believed in liberty. And that's why he attracted so many people. Obviously, he had his detractors, but he also attracted a lot of people who loved the same things and major figures. So in your article, you talk about Maya Angelou and Woody Guthrie and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Bob Dylan. All of these people influenced by the ideas and the principles that Robbie Burns talked about. So his influence, I think, often goes unnoticed, but it's profoundly there, is it not?
It absolutely is. Yeah, there are so many people, past and present, that have touched on Burns's verse and felt the more confident, felt the more alive, and felt the more equal to other humans around them. And it's just amazing. It really is to tap into it. You know, it's a current that runs deep still today. And we can all tap into it, no matter what kind of American we are and where we come from.
Yeah. His star burned fast, furiously, and failed early. Died young. Tell us what happened.
He sure did, yeah, and it's sad, but there was a lot of things going on in his heart, condition in his heart that eventually led to his death, and it was aggravated by the physical labor that he put in as a farmer and the habits of intemperance, as some people put it. 37, yes, but he actually died the day his son Maxwell was born. He lost out on being able to see his kids grow up. In fact, that's one thing that Woody Guthrie mentions in his quotes about him, just that he missed out on seeing his kids grow up, and he was sad for him on that score. But like you said, he burned brightly, and he was gone too soon, but his verse stays with us and the ideas behind it.
That's absolutely for sure. I should tell you also that in my house I have a piece of Roald Dahl, and this goes back to his beginnings of Robert Burns sitting on a bridge. And he's got a book of poetry in his hand. And why the bridge is significant is, again, these cultural references. So if you've ever seen the movie or the musical Brigadoon, that means bridge over the river Doon. And this is where he came from, was it not?
Exactly. Born on the banks of the river Doon.
Yeah, exactly. So hence, you get the musical River Brigadoon, which is part of this. You know, I'm so glad I got your phone number, Andrew, and I can chase you down, because we didn't get anywhere near technology and AI and the super piece that you wrote about the one resolution we should all make for the new year and has everything in the world to do with technology. So I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to our next conversation already. But consider yourself now someone who knows more about the poem Robert Burns. I'll get out of the way so you can hear the rest of his song. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
That's it for today. If you want more Robert Burns coverage and music, check out our previous episodes on him. We've got one called Why We Need Robert Burns in 2022, and another earlier one profiling Burns with some great arrangements of his music from Eddie Redder and others. That one's called The Life and Legacy of Robert Burns. Find both in our podcast episode archive, anywhere you get your podcasts. We'll close with music from The Proclaimers. I recently played their classic 1988 album Sunshine on Leith again and made a mental note to invite them back on the show to discuss their latest album and their storied musical career. If you call yourself a friend of Scotland, you've got to have this album in your collection. Sunshine on Leith. Here's track 9 to close us out. What do you do? In the song, you'll hear the brothers talk about factories closing down and democracy failing. Scotland went through a period of upheaval in the 1980s that saw many Scots feeling disenfranchised politically. A number of factories in the mining, steel, car and shipbuilding industries suffered or closed down, impacting greatly the communities and the people that powered them. As the brothers say on another song on the album, I can't understand why we let someone else rule our land, cap in hand. A slice of modern Scottish history and sentiment, to be sure. Well, let's connect again soon for your next virtual trip to Scotland. Until next time, be of good cheer. I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, I know you're right. I see it in your fierce eyes. Me, I never thought straight since the day I had the first doubt. Yeah, I know you're right, and I'll back you to a point, pal. But I'll never be constrained by another man's ideas now. Spent too long on this road, looking for the answers. But poverty and failure aren't what I'm after. I'll pay to fight on factories, but they close the factory down, pal. Gotta find out where the heart's gone. Gotta find out where the nerve's gone. What do you do when democracy fails you? Oh. What do you do when the rest can't see it's true? Scots way, just like her mother. But South always takes all, just like her brother. The next time she might vote, and so might the others. But time's running out, pal, 'cause they're giving up in numbers. What do you do when democracy's all through?
See so free.